Market volatility is back in a big way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. And so the selling continues. If you thought the stock market was finished with its gyrations and spikes and dips, you might want to go back to sleep. Better yet, let's go through the numbers and find out exactly what's going on. The really sad music this morning. The Dow is down 394 points, about 3.5% at 11,016. The NASDAQ down 4%. The S&P down about 3.5% as well. European shares were down big time. The German stock market was down 6%. Asian shares gave back a bunch as well. The number of people seeking first-time unemployment benefits rose slightly last week by 9,000 claims. The total number topped 400,000. That's a threshold seen as the line between job growth and job losses in the economy. We also got word from the government that the consumer price index, a gauge of consumer inflation, was up by 0.5% in July, but mostly because of food and energy costs. And one more sour economic report out today, a drop in the number of people who bought pre-owned homes in July. The National Association of Realtors said today home sales fell 3.5% last month. So with all this data and the markets today on a big tear, what is going on? Kevin Flanagan is managing director and chief fixed income strategist for Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, and he's with us now from suburban New York. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Now, people are pointing to these ongoing concerns about Europe and the European debt crisis as the reason the markets are sort of on a tear going down. But these, as I said, are ongoing. I mean, why such a plunge today?
I think the markets are on heightened alert for any signs of a continued slowdown in the economy, the double-dip recession concerns. And we got a couple of anecdotal reports. One of them is the Philadelphia Fed survey, not to get too technical on you, but it plunged. And that really precipitated what we've been seeing up to this point.
And the investors really pay attention to that stuff, right?
Yeah, they do. You know, and in an environment of heightened concerns and uncertainty, unfortunately, these things can be amplified.
I want to talk to you about the weekly jobless numbers as well, because we crossed over that 400,000 who applied for unemployment last week. Discouraging numbers. Can we really take a weekly number and hang a lot of meaning on it?
No, you really shouldn't. The monthly numbers obviously provide a lot better snapshot of what we're looking at on labor force trends. But one thing to keep in mind, even though we're at around that 400,000 level, jobless claims are down roughly 80,000 from the peaks that we saw in April. So we have seen some improvement.
We're seeing investors fleeing now, the flight to safety, as it were, to U.S. Treasury bonds. This is the same debt that was downgraded by Standard & Poor's a few weeks back. What gives there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You probably, if we had led with the bond story, you could have had more uplifting music to start. But, you know, I think the flight to quality trade, investors sort of gave a resounding answer to the S&P downgrade. And in terms of money flows, U.S. Treasuries are still considered AAA.
All of this going on, Kevin, bad data, the volatility, the European debt crisis. I mean, it's hard not to think that we're headed back to recession, yeah?
Well, that would seemingly be where the markets are taking us to at this point in time. Our base case is that you will see some improvement actually in the second half of the year, although the word improvement is relative. So I think we can avoid the textbook definition of a recession, but the probabilities are certainly higher now than where they were just a few months ago.
Bottom line, Kevin, do the wild swings continue real quick?
I'm sorry?
The wild swings, do they continue?
Yeah, I think volatility is going to be a hallmark of financial market trading for the next 6 to 12 months.
Kevin Flanagan with Morgan Stanley Smith Barney. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you.
And we, of course, have special coverage exploring the current state of the economy called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time, at marketplace.org. And you can hear more about what the stock market's doing later today on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
ATM fees are nothing new, right? But your bank may start charging you just for the privilege of using that debit card anywhere. There's news this morning that one bank is testing a monthly debit card fee of $3 in some areas. Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon is with us in the studio to talk about it. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
So who's doing this and why?
Well, now Wells Fargo is going to try this out in a handful of states, Washington, Oregon, New Mexico, Nevada, and Georgia. It's joining Chase, which is also running a $3 a month pilot in Wisconsin, and at least a couple of other regional banks have imposed $4 or $5 fees. I talked this morning to banking industry analyst Bert Ely. He explains they're doing this after the new regulation that reduced how much banks can charge merchants for each debit card transaction.
Banks are trying to make it up someplace else. They need to generate X amount of revenue in order to cover the expenses of providing services to customers.
So it seems consumers still got stuck with the bill. Wells Fargo says it's going to closely monitor how the guinea pigs in these five states respond to this new fee before deciding whether to go ahead and roll it out nationwide.
What if I don't want to pay this, Bob? How do I avoid it?
Well, Wells Fargo wants to make it $3 a month, so pony up right now. But it only applies if you use your debit card to make purchases. It won't cost you if you just use the card at ATMs or if you sign up for certain checking accounts. And Bert Ely told me he thinks those kinds of exceptions will be the rule.
What we may find is that the banks will basically say there'll be no charge if you utilize certain other services of the bank, such as direct deposit, maybe you have a credit card, a safety deposit box, things like that.
Isn't this going to make people use debit cards less, Bob?
Well, Ely told me it's too early to say. There will probably be some backlash, but it can cost a lot to use that other kind of plastic, too, in credit card interest charges. Maybe time to break out the old checkbook.
Oh, boy. Marketplace's Bob Moon here in the studio. Bob, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's check stock markets one more time before we leave you. The Dow is down about 3.5%, 397 points. At just above 11,000, 11,013, the NASDAQ off 4%, the S&P down about 3.75%. The latest, of course, in the numbers section at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The national debt. It's a big, ugly number with a lot of zeros on the end. It's getting us into some trouble, too. So how do we feel about all that money we owe?
It's a necessary evil. It has to exist. It's what this country kind of runs on.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good debt, bad debt, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.